Luke chapter number 1, look at verse number 37.
I don't believe most Christians believe this verse, because most Christians don't walk in that realm of faith. You know, they're comfortable. And so why would you want to launch out and do something that only God can do? The Bible says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." I heard an old missionary say one time, "Let's stop praying and asking God to do something great with us, and let's start praying and asking God to do something impossible with us." I've seen God do some impossible things. I've seen Him do some things in our lives. It just was impossible. There's no other explanation. It had to be God. Folks, we serve a God that can do anything. The only thing that's limiting God this morning is us. I don't want to limit God, because God can do anything. There might be some of you this morning that say, "Preacher, you don't know my circumstance. You don't know my problems. You don't know my bills. You don't know what's on the horizon. You don't know about my doctor's checkup." But God does. And God delights in the impossible, folks. And when God said He can do the impossible, we need to believe that God can do the impossible. I believe God can do anything that He wants to do. And the only limitation God has is you. That's the only limitation He has. So with that in thought, I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter number 8. We agree together that God is the God of the impossible. 1 Samuel chapter number 8. I want you to look at verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 7, and I'll probably preach the introduction this morning, and I'll give you the main outline tonight. But I don't want to rush this, because I want you to see something here. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his son judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second son was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his son walked not in his ways. Samuel was a young man that God called to preach, and his first message was he was going to tell the prophet Eli, the priest, that your sons, you've restrained them not." And it seemed like, if you read this, he didn't learn the lesson. Look what it says. "And his sons walked not in his ways." Folks, the ways that we've been taught here in this church is the good way. I don't care what the world's doing. I don't care what other churches are doing. This is the good way. And our children need to walk therein. Amen. But the Bible said that Samuel's sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. He knew the judgment hand of God, what God passed down on Eli, yet he did the exact same thing. His sons walked not in his ways. They turned aside. They were perverting judgment. Look at verse 4. "Then all of Israel and all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, came to Samuel unto Ramah." How do you say that? I don't know. I should have tried to pronounce these names. I apologize. "And he said unto them, Behold, thou art old. Thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Now we agree that the first part of the message is that God can do the impossible. You know what's going on here? The nation of Israel has looked at the man of God in his offspring, and they've said, "You're old. You just need to get out of the way. Your sons are not walking in your ways." And what they're saying at this point is, "Give us a king so we can be just like everybody else." And I'm telling you, folks, I don't want to be just like everybody else. I don't want our church to be just like every other church. And you know what they were telling in a roundabout way? God's not enough. He's not enough. We don't want Him to reign over us and to rule us. We want to be just like everybody else. And I'll tell you something, my friend, they're all going, it seems that way. They are leaving the old time, the old ways, the old time preaching. Amen. If you get up and preach something and people get mad at you because it's straight from the Bible, you're a hate monger. Amen. You don't have compassion. I'm telling you something, what built this country was old time preaching. I was talking to a lady yesterday, an older lady at Brother Andrews, and this lady grew up under Lester Roloff's ministry. And if you listen to Lester Roloff, and he still comes on GIB, if you listen to Lester Roloff, you would think that man's preaching today. This man of God had a touch of God. And I'm telling you something, my friend, as a church, I'm telling you, God can do anything He wants to do, but we don't need to limit God. And we don't need to say, well, it's working down there, amen. So let's just back up on our standards and let's just try to draw a crowd. I'm telling you something, my friend. I'd rather have 100 that love God than 1,000 that you had to beg and get them to love God. Why do we need to change when it comes to the old time way? I'm finding this hard as a young preacher. I'm finding a lot of my crowd, my generation, don't want what we have. They don't want the old-time hymns no more. They don't want the old-time preaching no more. They don't want the old-time convictions no more. They don't want the Holy Ghost of God to walk up and down. They want this feeling, amen. I want a feeling of the Holy Ghost of God. Why was God not enough for them? Look over in the 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Now we're going to go through this, and I'll tell you why this people had got fed up. They had got fed up. But in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 2, look at verse number 12. Look what it says there. And the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. And the priest's customs were with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants came with the flesh, with it seething, with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan, in the kettle, the cauldron, or the pot, and all the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh until all the Israelites came thither. And before they burned the fat, now the fat's God's. That's God's. And this is what they were wanting. The priest servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give us the flesh to roast for the priest, for we have not sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto them, let not fail to burn the fat presently, then take it as much as thy soul desire, then they would answer to him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord, for they abhorred the offering of the Lord. Go down to verse 22. And Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, how they lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of the evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for this is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. You know what the number one problem was? The priesthood was corrupted. Here was God's supposedly men, and they abhorred God's sacrifice. Now I'm going to tell you what's going on in church. You know why God's not good enough? Because the priesthood has become corrupted. The problem in this country has got to start with the pulpit in our country. We try to blame it on the pew, but if the pulpit's where it needs to be, I believe the pew will be where it needs to be. But the priesthood had corrupted. There's articles daily on some preacher or some man of God that has gone out and they have corrupted themselves and they have brought shame not only to themselves, but greater to God. And people are getting fed up with it. But you know what? It's never. What I was talking to another preacher Friday night at that youth meeting, and what's so sad? Most of these preachers, they can corrupt themselves and corrupt the pulpit and corrupt the priesthood, and they never miss a beat. It's like they're following this man, and they don't care what this man's done. It's just their favorite preacher, and they like how he preaches. Amen. The priesthood has become corrupt. The pulpits. Man, everybody, I don't know what they want today. I mean, you can't, if you preach too hard, I mean, if you don't preach hard, you're a compromiser. If you do preach hard, you're a hateful person. I'm teaching God's people need to be preached to. And we have a pastor that'll preach to us, amen, whether we like it or not. There's not one of us in here can stand up and say, Brother Charlie has never preached to me. I mean, none of us could get up this morning and say, I'll be honest with you, Brother Charlie's never offended me. Hey, just be honest. I can raise my hand and he's offended me. But you know what? It's always been right. You know why it's been right? Because it came out of the Word of God. And he didn't care if you liked it or not. Amen. But you know why people today, you know why they're turned off? Because the priesthood has been corrupted. Why do you want to go to church? I don't want to go down there with them hypocrites. And you know what? We can't sit around here and judge them because they are hypocrites. We're one way Sunday morning and we're one way at the job, amen. We ought to be a Christian Sunday morning, Sunday night, a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Has the preachers run off with money? Yes. Has preachers run off with women? Yes, they sure have. But there's still some that hadn't done it. And we have one here that hasn't done it. He's never been to the point where you say, well, Brother Charlie's changed. I mean, he's like this stand. He's got a lot more compassionate, but he still believes the same thing he believed 20 years ago when he sat here and preached the devil out of me. Amen. But people get in churches today, and I mean, the preachers are more wicked than the people in the pews. No wonder nobody wants to come to church. Maybe that's the reason some of your folks don't want to come. Maybe they see how you live on Monday. Number one, the priesthood was corrupted. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 8. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And watch what he says in verse number 3. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Number 2, their politicians were crooked. Do we not live in a generation where the politicians are crooked? I mean, but that seems like that's the hope of the church. Boy, if we just get this guy out and we just get this guy in, I'm going to tell you something. Everything in Washington is run by one thing. It's called filthy lucre. And I don't care how godly they seem. That's why you have these lobbyists. And they're going to pour money in there. You know what the church is? Well, that's our hope. It doesn't matter who gets in there. I only recognize one king. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one day when He comes back, He ain't going to call for a popular vote. He's not going to be calling for a popular vote. He ain't going to politic. He's not going to have town hall meetings. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Amen. That's the King that we serve. And that should be our hope. But you know what, people in church today? Well, if we can just get so-and-so in there. Hey, my friend, this is just worried about getting right with God and honoring God and serving God. The politicians are crooked. I mean, this crowd can't win. His sons are taking bribes. They're perverting judgment. I mean, these people, and could you blame them? They've watched Eli's son pervert the priesthood. They take their sacrifices down there. They're taking what they want. And if they wouldn't give it to them, they were taking it by force. Now God had killed those two boys. And now here comes Samuel's two boys. They're judges. They're judging. And now everything is being perverted. They can't get the right verdict. They're taking bribes. And they're sitting there and they're saying, they're just throwing their hands up and saying, what's the use? You know why some people ain't in church today? What's the use? What's the use going to church? What's the use going? God ain't down there. You see the cliques in the church, and as far as I know, and I've been here 20 years, I don't think there's any cliques in the church. We're just Glory Land Baptist Church members. But as far as I know, everybody gets along. That's what I like about this church. There's not no haves and have-nots. You're my family. The politicians are crooked. The priesthood's corrupted. Now look what happens in verse number 5. And he said unto them, talking to Samuel, thou art old. You know what they then started doing? Criticizing the prophet. It's your fault. Now I'm going to tell you, you read the life of Samuel. Now we know he's got an issue with his boys. But you don't find Samuel taking bribes. You don't find Samuel down there corrupting the offerings of God. But you know what they've done? They begin to turn their anger towards the man of God. That's what will happen. And I know that it's justifiable on some people. It's justifiable on those young men that took bribes. It's justifiable on those young men that preferred a God sacrifice. But here's a man that stood with the stuff. Here's a man, he's coming to the end of his ministry. And you know what they said? You're too old! We've had a preacher here for 32 years. And he has done everything he knows to do to lead this congregation. He has wept. He has cried. He's laughed with us. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. He has run a great race. And we cannot point our finger at our preacher and say, you're the reason I'm not serving God. You'll never point your finger at him and say that. He's led by an example. And here they begin to criticize the prophet and say, you know, you're just too old for the job. You no longer need it. And this preacher, man, he had walked in God's ways. But see, that's what it is. When you won't look at your own self and your own faults, you begin to point out faults of other people. The politicians were crooked. The priesthood was corrupted. Then they begin to point the finger at the prophet. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can point it at anybody in this church you want to, but when you stand before God, you're going to give an account of yourself. Your answer will be yay and nay. You ain't going to be able to blame the preacher that day. Hey, children, you ain't going to be able to blame your parents that day. So you got your priesthood, it's corrupted. The politicians are crooked. The people's criticizing. The prophet's being criticized and they're critical about him. Now look at verse number 8. Look at chapter number 8, verse number 5. And we've already read that, so let's just move on down to verse number 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. His response was, let's see what God thinks about it. You know what the people were doing? They were clamoring. You ain't good enough no more. God, you don't do nothing for us no more. So I tell you what, God, we want to be like those other nations. Just make us like everybody else. God has called us to be out as a particular people. And yet Christians today are saying, we want to be just like everybody else. When the people started clamoring, the man of God didn't say, well, you know what, let's just change things. He said, let's see what God has to say about this. Hey folks, let's just see what God has to say about this. Let's see if we need to hire us a praise and worship leader. God, what do you think about that? What if we got a hold of God and say, God, we think we need to have a rock and roll band? You know what preachers are doing in? They're giving in to the crowd. I'll tell you something, young people. We don't have to have a rock and roll band and a worship leader and all this up-tempo music to feed your soul. We don't have to have a clown at youth rally. And I'm talking about the preachers they get in. I ain't talking about a physical clown. It seems like today, you go in there and the preacher say, well, I don't know what else we can do to draw them. I tell you how you keep the kids. You show interest in them. You encourage them. People just, they've had enough. They're sick of the way their lives are going. They're sick of seeing the priesthood corrupted. They're sick of seeing the crooked politician. They're sick of the preacher. He just ain't what we think. Hey, we need to get somebody else in here. They're just sick of it. The preacher said, Samuel prayed in the Lord, verse number 6. Now look at verse number 7. Be careful what you ask for. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. You know what God just said? They don't want me. They don't have to have me. Lord Land, if you don't want God, just tell them you don't want him. Samuel's upset. If you read it, it displeased Samuel. Samuel's distraught. Samuel's saying, no, God, this ain't the way you intended. You brought us out of Egypt. Now they're wanting to go back into Egypt. And he said this, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. But they have rejected me that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day. Wherewith have they forsaken me? And they serve other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit you protest, he's saying this, go ahead and hearken to them, but you protest solemnly against them. He said this, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him of a king. So now the preacher confronts the people. Is this what you want? God said you can have it. God said that you can have all that you want. If you want a king, if you want to be like everybody else, go ahead and be like everybody else. If you're saying in your life, well, I'm tired of the standards of the church. I'm tired of the song service of the church. I'm tired of the sermons of the church. I'm tired of the Spirit of God of the church. Then you know what? God would just say, then you can have what you want. You can be just like everybody else. But by the grace of God, I didn't join Glory Land Baptist Church to be just like everybody else. I joined here because I knew that God was here and God had preeminence in our church and the Spirit of God moved. And by the grace of God, that's what we need to keep. So he confronts the people and said, you want, you can have it. You want that, you can have it. And they were telling him, you ain't enough, God. We won't be just like everybody else. The priesthood's corrupted. Politicians are crooked. The prophet's being criticized. The people's clamoring. The preacher confronts the people. I'm telling you, folks, there's too many years and there's too many tears. There's too many children sitting in this church to be just like everybody else. Now, I want to encourage you, and I'm going to stop there for the day. And I'm going to show you what happens when God ain't enough tonight.